psalmist says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desired life and loved many things, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon them, are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Righteous cry, and the Lord hear and deliver them out of all their troubles. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another time we can gather here just to have you speak to us through our pastor today. We bless him as he prepares himself. Thank you for everyone here, and be with us now as we stand before the people to sing a few songs and just to praise you. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for my heavenly hope, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So I sing because, oh, I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, I sing because, oh, I'm happy, and I sing because, oh, I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches me. Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Oh, arise, arise, my love. Oh, arise. Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise. Has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Oh, arise, arise, my.
Oh, I long to be shut.
with God. Oh, my God. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So long to be shut in. Thank you, Lord God. Maybe seated and special this morning.
Good morning, God bless. The song that I'm going to sing today is a song that the Lord gave me. And it's a sort of like a history and a testimonial song. The history of the song speaks about the birth of Christ. And it's kind of Christmassy. But the second half of the song is a testimony of things to come. So I kind of incorporated the song to be partly a Christmas song and a New Year's song. So I pray that you will be blessed by the song. Christmas comes with voices lifted, praising the birth of the new. Shepherds watch as angels sing, glory, hallelujah, to the Prince of Peace. In Bethlehem, a star shined brightly, guiding three keys to the King of Kings. The new year brings cheer and glad tidings that the second coming of the Lord is nigh. The Holy Ghost is going through the land, telling all the world it's time to take a stand. The new year brings cheer and glad that the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. The Holy Ghost is going through the land, telling all the world it's time to take stand. The Holy Ghost is going through the land, telling all the world it's time to take a stand. Be the one to take God's stand. You, 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 you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am the one to take God's hand. My desire to live for Him more often failed and cause them shame. It's my desire to Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you will know the reason why I love Him so. You can't take this world, it was I don't need those things. It's my desire to live for Him. Oh, it's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way, because one day I was so lost, but now I found my way to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, Jesus brought me from and where I am today, then you will know the reason why I love Him so. You can't take Great is what it's worth, and with cheer, I don't need a slave. It's my desire.
Glory. Thank you, sisters. All our desire to live for Him. Oh, my God. Thank you. We have one more special, but have the offering first. Abba Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, to be able to come into the house of the Lord and to recognize your presence amongst us all. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you have always provided for us those things which we have need of. Father, we're so grateful for jobs, Lord, that you provided. Lord, you provided means of transportation, our homes, Lord God. You've blessed us in so many ways, Lord. And Father, in obedience to your word, we bring into the storehouse, Lord. Father, you promised blessings, Lord, as we would give back unto you. Father, it's such a little thing, Lord, for us to give back to you. Our heart's desire, Lord, is always to bless your people in every way that we can, Lord. We know it's because it's your desire for us, Lord, to bless your people. As we return, Lord, our tithe and our offering unto you, Lord, perform your word amongst your people, Lord. We trust you. We believe you. We receive you, Lord. We ask these things all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us standing in His presence on holy ground.
Thank you, Lord.
We are standing,
glory,
on holy ground. I know that they are angels all around. Whoa. Let us presence on the whole.
Jesus. Thank you, Sister Sarah. Blessed be your wonderful name. Let's put those words back up there for you. Every blessing that you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And evidently this the writer of this song must have been going through something, because they also say when darkness closes in, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? I'm gonna bless him when things are going good. And I'm gonna still bless him when things are going bad. Hallelujah, somebody. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Anybody feel that way this morning? I said, anybody feel that way this morning? I'm going to bless God no matter what I'm going through. The name of the Lord. Come on, say, blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Come on. Blessed be your glory. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Come on. Blessed be your name. That's the way I feel this morning. Blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be your glory. One more time. Blessed be the name. God, I give you praise in the good times, in the bad times. I'm going to bless your name, the name of, oh. Come on. You give and take away, say. You give and take. Nobody but Jesus. You give. Hallelujah. My heart will choose to say, oh, Lord, blessed be. Hallelujah. Come on, you give and take away. You give. You give and take away. Hallelujah. My heart will choose to say, oh, Lord, blessed be. Come on, think about those words. You give, you take away. Hallelujah. You give, you take away. Oh, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be. Come on, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be. Oh, blessed be the name. Oh. Come on, one more time. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be. Hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. Blessed be your glorious name. Somebody bless him in this place. Give him glory. Give him honor. Worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Come on, turn around and greet somebody. Say, I choose to bless God. I choose to bless God. To bless God. That's my choice. Amen. 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 Let's clap our hands and give him some praise. Amen. Amen. I just have a couple of announcements that I just want to make mention of. I have a prayer request that we want to acknowledge. While you're standing, I'll just read this prayer request, and we'll also just make the announcements here shortly.
Prayer request says, please pray and keep in your daily prayer, Sister Lupe. She has a nervous condition. So God is a healer, and I'm a witness of his healing power. Amen. For my Sister Robles, you have. Let's just take this before, amen, the throne of God. I also, while we're just praying for Sister Lupe, I want you to remember, amen, Sister Michelle's mother in prayer who had a fall, and Sister Michelle is just there tending to her mom, and so just continue to keep her in prayer. It's going to be like a 12-week recovery process that she'll be going through, so just keep that in prayer. Also keep the Johnson family in prayer and the loss of their loved one. Next Saturday they'll be having the funeral service, the homegoing service for Brother Solomon's grandfather. Amen. So please keep their family in prayer through this season, through this time. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can bring our requests to you, knowing that you are God that hears, and not only hears, but you're a God that answers to prayer. There are so many that pray to bricks and stone and wood. They lay prostrate before it and get no answer, but Father, for us, you respond. And even before we call, you've already answered. God, we thank you that we can serve a God like that. We just appreciate, Lord, all that you are doing. And Father, as the testimony has already gone forth, that we know that you are a healer. So before we pray, we thank you in advance for bringing healing to Sister Lupe. The nervous condition we curse right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you bring complete and total healing to her body. Father, we also lift up Sister Michelle's mother, Lord, who had the fall and is going through a process of recovery. God, give us speedy recovery is our prayer. May the bones, Lord, that were damaged, Lord, may they heal properly, Father. May she be restored and made completely whole. We ask that you, Father, would just get glory and honor out of the circumstance and situation. We also pray that you would undergird the Johnson family in the loss of their loved one, that you would give them strength, Lord, to endure through this time. And Father, we pray that even through this death, that somebody would receive life. Oh God, minister in only way that you can to every heart. God, we also just lift up the saints that are not with us today, Lord. Different ones, different places. Give traveling mercies to those that are traveling over the dangerous highways and byways. Pray that you would keep them safely, God, and allow them to return here, God. Bless the remainder of this service today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to announce a happy birthday to Sister Naomi. Amen. God bless you, Sister Naomi. Thank God for giving you another year. She's celebrating another year here. Also, Sister Treasure, amen. I don't see her, but we say happy birthday to her when y'all see her later in the week. Say happy birthday to Sister Treasure as well. Thank God for giving both of our sisters another year here on earth. Also, don't forget this Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m., Sister's prayer meeting here at the church. The sisters are welcome to come and pray, amen, here at the church on Tuesday night. And next Sunday, we'll be doing a potluck dinner after service, so bring your pots. Everybody bring big pots, big pots, amen, full of food, not just empty pots, but fill up the pots with food. And let's bring it, and let's just have some fellowship here, amen, on next Sunday after the service. And also, don't forget, Brother Smiley's meetings will be coming up. Brother David Morris and Brother Fred Mullins will be coming to preach on the weekend of February 12th, 13th, and 14th. And we're looking forward to be a part of that. So today we are grateful, amen, to have with us, amen, Brother Tom Ernest, amen, and his precious wife, Sister Sandy. Amen. We thank God for them all the way from Wichita, Kansas. Amen. A pretty good ride. But we're very grateful to have them. We had connected at some meetings that I was at in Arkansas last year, and back in November, Brother Tom was coming this way, and at the time I lost my biological father, and we just weren't able to get things worked out. But he so graciously, amen, and patiently just waited until the right time to come. And this weekend, it just worked out perfectly that he was able to be here. And having fellowship with him, I realized that we're brothers of kindred spirits. And I'm very grateful for that. So today, it might be his first time preaching here, but we fellowship once before, and that was way back in the mind of God in eternity. So, amen, what we're doing today is just acting out what was already in God's mind. So we are under expectation that God will use him in a special way just to speak to our hearts. And let's come with our cups empty so they can be filled, amen, this morning. Let's sing a chorus of this song, amen, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. We crown you with many crowns. You reign victorious. Amen. Say, worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Say, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God. Jesus, Son of God. Oh, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. We crown you now with many crowns. Oh, you reign victorious, high and lifted up, high. Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, Son, the darling of heaven, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Come on one more time. Everybody say, worthy. Another time. Seated on the throne. Hallelujah. We crown you now.
I say praise the Lord out there. Amen. Amen. Brother Jack's going to try to get me fixed up with some kind of a microphone on my tie. You know, I don't know. I've either thrown this thing or dropped it, or I got a feeling. See, I'm new to you folks this morning. I never met most of you. And I know you're all sitting out there thinking, I wonder what he's going to preach like. How many of you thought of that? Oh, man, I wonder what that guy going to preach like. And I'm up here wondering what y'all going to listen like, you know? So, avoiding a disaster with this microphone, we're going to try to go to this wireless. All right. Can you hear me now? All right. God bless you all this morning. While you're standing, let's read our scriptures together. I am Tom Ernest from Wichita, Kansas at the moment. We did live 21 years in the northern end of Florida, up close to Pensacola in Fort Walton Beach area. And we've been out in Wichita, Kansas for 5 years now. And that's the just a brief history of our life journey. I was born and raised in Nutbush, Tennessee. Anybody ever hear of Nutbush, Tennessee? We only had one famous resident. I dare to mention her name here in the congregation, but the only other famous person born in Nutbush, Tennessee was Tina Turner. She actually wrote a song in her, and believe me, that's not lifting up our friend there, but she was the only one of fame, and she wrote a song called Nutbush City Limits. It was about storehouses and outhouses and cotton gins and everything else, but we were born and raised there, came into the message there in 1969. And in 1981, we moved to Canada to work with a brother out in Edmonton, Alberta, from where I married my wife. She's a Canadian, an Albertan. And we stayed there for about 8.5 years in Canada and then came back to Fort Walton Beach, Florida for 21 years. So, and now we're 5 years in Wichita. So let's read in our scriptures together. That's me in a 1 minute nutshell. So if we can read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for our text, just tell me, does Brother Jack leave his coat on the whole time, or does he? No? Okay, that's all right. Good. Thank you, my brother. Just turn that sleeve back, because I'm feeling warm already. Of course, I burn up a lot more energy than a man like him. You can see the size difference here, you know. I hung my coat over top of his in the back room there, and he couldn't even find his under there. It was like shuffling through the sheets trying to get down to where his coat was, but God makes us in all sizes, all different shapes, all for the kingdom. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know this is an end time scripture, so you know it very well. You've heard it preached on a lot, so it's not going to be unfamiliar this morning. Let's just pick it up in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. How many of you remember who those he's are? It's God holding this thing in place until he withdraws the Holy Spirit from the earth, at which point he takes his bride with him, holding it in place. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If we can draw a text, it's going to come out of verse 11. It's an age of strong delusion. Not just delusion, but strong delusion. Let's just pray. Father, today we have enjoyed hearing the songs, even though we were sequestered back there in the little room and couldn't worship in as much as we wanted. But hearing the songs, the saints coming and participating and adding their little lick of fire into the building today, we ask you, Lord, as now we turn to the Word, that the Word will take its course. It's not about the presenter. It's not about the congregants. It's about you honoring your Word here today. And we come and submit ourselves to that divine leadership of the Holy Spirit. As our prophet had told us, you knew everyone that would be here before the foundation of the world. You knew everyone that would be in attendance this morning. And we appreciate that you've brought the right ones here. Bless us today, we ask, as we hover around the Word, as we brood over it, as we think on it, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Again, I know anytime you have a new visitor that you've never heard before, there's always a little apprehension. I've been going to church a long time. We came into the message in 1969 as a very young man, and the Lord was gracious to give us a solid foundation church there. Since dissolved, the pastor's gone on to his reward in Tennessee. But through the years, I believe by thoughts of grace that he's kept us solid in that message and stable and trying to hold forth the word of life. He called us into the ministry in 1979, and so we're entering our 37th year of ministry in this message. And I thank God for that. I was telling Brother Jack, one of my least favorite quotes probably, if there is such a thing, is where Brother Brown talked about maybe only 500 to 700 people going in the rapture. I told him, I got more friends than that. I want more than that if God will be gracious, because I want them all to make it. I want them all to make it. And I just was sharing with our brother. I just met him new this past fall for a little short get together there in Arkansas at a meeting he was preaching. Still remember what he preached since October. That's pretty good for an old fellow like me. How many of y'all remember what he preached last weekend? You know, see, I'm going to challenge you on that. If you have a trouble like I do with drinking too much Diet Coke and that aspartame done got to your brain, write you some notes down. Write you some notes down. You know, don't be one of those people when a sister or a brother that wasn't there says, what did he preach on? And the Bible. I mean, that's usually our answer. The platform. He preached on the platform. You know, that's not the right answer. When you come to the house of God, prepare yourself to hear the word. Prepare yourself to be fed by the word. If something is good that you think you might need later on, write it down. I've gotten many a message on a McDonald's napkin riding in my car, because I'll hear that prophet say something and I don't want to lose it. You know, Brother Branham encouraged us to do that. You'll find one instance where he says, I was out in the woods hunting and God gave me something, and I engraved it on the gun stock of my gun so I wouldn't forget it. That's wanting to remember it. If you're going to mess up your rifle to remember the word of the Lord. He said, I had to carve it in the stock. I didn't have no paper. I didn't have no pencil. So I engraved it on the gun stock of my gun so I wouldn't forget it. That's how important the word needs to be us today. That's how much it needs to mean to us in this age that you and I are living in. I'm already feeling like it's going to be easy to preach here. I was telling our brother, I always seem like every time I meet a new brother, and even though we just known each other a very short time and had a couple of days together, I feel like he's an old friend already. Brother Branham said in this mortal channel that we all live in, he said it's all gaiety and blackness and darkness. But he said every once in a while you'll meet a little white light. And he went to that scripture, you're the light of the world. He said every once in a while you'll meet that little white light. He said that's Christians that's holding forth this banner in the end times. I'm glad to meet him. Met a few new brothers down at a little get-together there yesterday with our brothers. So privileged to come down among you. I don't know how I stayed in North Florida all them years and never made it down here. But the Lord knows his timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. Today we want to choose a little subject, very familiar subject to you. We know the conditions of the age that we're living in. We know the stresses that the enemy is putting on this message. We know the ramifications of walking away from the true revealed word of the hour brings us. And so we want to talk about this area of delusions. A delusion. A delusion. I want to give you a definition of a delusion. This is right out of the dictionary. A delusion. Catch this now, because this is going to be important to our thought today. A delusion is a belief that is held with strong conviction despite superior evidence to the contrary. Let me read that again. It's a belief that's held with strong conviction despite superior evidence to the contrary. That's what a delusion is. When it's been proven over and over and over again, and yet you still believe it, opposite of that, that is a delusion. I tried to think of the best example in this message of a delusion that I could share with you. And it was the picture of Houston in 1950 in the Pillar of Fire. Do you remember the story very well? We don't need to go through the whole story, but remember Reverend Best was on the platform? He was wanting to debate with Brother Branham, and Brother Bosworth went up and had a discussion with this gentleman. And during that discussion, The problem was he had invited the newspapers, he had invited the magazines to come down as he was going to expose the fact that God is not a divine healer. Think of that. Why would you waste your effort on that? Even if you truly believe that, you ought to just hold out some hope that that ain't true. But this is a Baptist theologian. This Baptist theologian, he wanted the people to come, and he was going to expose Brother Branham. He was going to expose divine healing as being not right. And so he's up there on the platform, and he's debating with Brother Best. Well, you remember the story. Dr. Best or Dr. Best debated with Brother Bosworth, and Brother Bosworth pretty well took all the wind out of his sails when he asked that one simple question: is Jehovah of the Old Testament Jesus of the New? It settled it right there, but he was still angry. In fact, in one of the tellings of that event, and I thought I'd been to church before until I read this, but Brother Branham said, as Brother Bosworth was debating, he said, oh, he really blew up then, talking about Reverend Best. He's yelling out, let me see him perform, let me see him perform. And the moderators made him sit down. He walked over there, and there was a Pentecostal preacher standing there. He just smacked him all the way across the platform. Think of that. So worked up over his point. And so here's what happened. Finally, we know Brother Branham comes down. And Dr. Best was challenging Brother Bosworth. He says, there's nothing but you bunch of numbskull holy rollers believe in such stuff as that. Baptists don't believe in no such nonsense talking about divine healing. That was his challenge. Baptists don't believe in this nonsense. So Brother Bosworth said, just a moment. He said, how many people out there in these 2 weeks' meetings that's standing in good standing with these fine Baptist churches here in Houston that can prove that you've been healed by Almighty God? Amen. While Brother Branham's been here? Wow. Brother Bob, how many Baptists can tell us you was healed this week? Amen. And over 300 stood up. Yes, sir. 300 of them stood up and said, I'm a Baptist and I was healed.
Amen.
And Brother Bosworth said to Mr. Best, what about that? You know what he said? They're not Baptist. Strong delusion in the face of superior evidence to the contrary. He was taken over by such a strong delusion of his point. 300 Baptists are standing up saying, I've been healed. I do believe as a Baptist that God heals. 300 of them stood up and he says, they're not Baptist. Think of that. That's a strong delusion right there. Brother Bosworth said, God's word says it right, and you can't withstand that. And the people says it's right, and you can't back that down. What are you going to do about it now? So he kept shaking his fist, and the pictures was taken. But that was the best example of a strong delusion. In spite of evidence to the contrary, the word says it's right. The people says it's right. And yet here's a Baptist theologian says they're just not Baptist. I guess they went and turned in their membership cards right after that. They're not Baptists. They were Baptists, and they were healed. And in the face of, oh, you know, you talk about the world. We could spend all morning talking about the strong delusions that's went on out there in the world. You know, we don't have enough time. And I'm not a long-winded preacher. I know you're all worried. I wonder how long this guy goes. I know. You all thinking about it. It's somewhere in the back of your mind that's going to filter up. Wonder how long he goes. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? How long does he go? I'll tell you what. The doctrine I preach as an evangelist that the pastors like the least is that this is called the message of the hour. The saints usually love that everywhere I go. But the pastors get a little squirmy when I preach that one. This is called the message of the hour. All right. All right. Not the message of the 2 hour or the 3 hour. How many ever said, I believe the message of the hour? Right. And then you show up and lunch comes and dinner's almost time. And the fella's still going. Right. Remember that, Brother Jack. The message of the hour. Message of the hour. If I never come back, remember Brother Tom has shared that with you. So I ain't going to be long. I ain't going to be long. I did hear a man once, I was sitting in a meeting, a brother from Trinidad was preaching. He had a very good point. And his point was this. He said, I know Brother Branham talked about 45 minutes and be done and 20 minutes. He said, but if I preach for 3 hours and you come up to me at the end and say, why, my brother, that felt like 45 minutes because we're all having a good time, we're enjoying the word, even though I went 3 hours and it felt like 45 minutes, have I done disservice to the quote? He had a good point. If you go long, but it don't seem that long. You know, Brother Brown said that 30-minute silence, when it was silence in heaven, he said it seemed like a millennium. If a 30-minute silence can seem like a millennium, a 3-hour sermon can seem like 45 minutes. So there's your answer. If he does go long, just make sure you're in it with him. Stay in the word with our brother. When he's bringing that word, stay in the word with him. Participate in the word. Don't be thinking about your job. Don't be thinking about your home life. Don't be thinking about your domestic things. Stay in the word with whoever is up here bringing that word to you. Stay in that. I did tell a brother later after hearing that story. I said, well, tragically, I've sat in some 45-minute sermons that seem like 3 hours on the opposite side of that. And I know we've all been in those. But let's get to our subject. A belief that is held with strong conviction despite superior evidence to the contrary. That's what a delusion is, a strong delusion. Now, I want you to notice in the scripture, as we go back to it there, for this cause, because they receive not the love of the truth, because they worship the god of this evil age. I know you've heard a lot of preaching out of the god of this evil age. He is the god of this evil age, worshiped by millions and billions, thinking they're serving God, and truly they're worshiping Satan. You know that's right out of the word of God. You look around at the world. Again, we were talking about the world. Let's just take 2 minutes on the worldly side of things. Look at the delusions in the world. The world is gripped by strong delusion. 4 years ago, we had, when we voted our president in, you know, the world was under a delusion that this man, for he had already messed up the first 4 years. I don't want to get all political on you. But he had already wrecked the first 4 years, but the American people got under the delusion that let's give him 4 more and see how he gonna turn it around. All right. Well, we see how it's done turned around.
Yeah.
You know, it's a delusion.
Yeah.
It's a delusion that any one of these guys we've got running in November is gonna turn it around. That's a delusion.
Amen.
If you want to go out and stump for Trump, you just be welcome to do that. He ain't gonna turn it around. He ain't gonna turn it around. If you wanna choose Dr. Carson, go with Dr. Carson. He ain't gonna turn it around. I was telling our brother Jack, because he's kind of a Florida State fan. And I'm a Florida fan. It is. But I was telling him, I'm thinking of going for Marco Rubio. You know why? Because he said the other day, he said the reason they even opened up Florida State is for all those students that couldn't get into the University of Florida. So I'm thinking of going Rubio based on that. It's as good as anything else I got. Come on. Everybody's worried about immigration and reform and walls and all. They're none of them going to change it. You could put an Abraham Lincoln in every county and he would not turn this thing around. I see churches getting all political, but there was a delusion that 4 more years of this man could turn it around. Don't get under the delusion that you can pick the right man. In fact, our pastor at home there, Brother Pinkston, has brought in a very good doctrine to us. We should choose, even in our local governments, the worst scoundrel that there is. Because that'll help us get on out of here a little bit quicker. Pick the low-downest dog there is in the race and go with him. I believe it. I believe that's what we ought to be doing. Let me talk about one more in the land. We had it the last couple of years. Strong delusion. I'll just bring up his name and you're going to know what I'm going to tell you about him already. Bruce Jenner. You talk about a strong delusion. This man was born Bruce. Raised Bruce. Ran in the Olympics as Bruce. Bruce. showered in the men's locker room. There was strong evidence that Bruce was a man. There was. I'm only going to present it that way, not being graphic or anything, but he was Bruce. But here the nation is gripped by this person, and they will debate you to the end to tell you he's not Bruce anymore. He is now Caitlin. Strong delusion. Despite superior evidence to the contrary. Strong delusion. Why is it men burning with men and women with women and the sins of the end time? It's because they're under a delusion. They're under a delusion. This Bruce becoming Caitlin was nothing but a delusion. And the whole Olympic organizing committee, they were debating, should we go back and take all of his Olympic times and put them into the women's records? The whole IOC, the International Olympic Committee, was wondering. They wrapped in that same delusion. A delusion. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that's what the world has got. It don't matter where we go. We could spend all day on that. The world is wrapped in this. But that's not going to deceive you. It's the delusion within the church. The strong delusion. The scripture says, and this is a very challenging scripture, for this cause, God shall send them. Strong delusion. It does not say that God is the author of the delusion. He simply allows the delusion. Let me read you a scripture in Isaiah 66. Go over there with me. I want you to read this one. Brother Jack told me I could drink this water in the name of the Lord. I want you to notice this verse in Isaiah 66. Again, people in this evil age are worshiping the God of this world, the God of this evil age. And notice how that their sacrifices. Isaiah 66, verse 3. He that killeth an ox. Now, this every one of these references here is to their form of worship and to their sacrifice of worship. But it'll be in the end time that he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Everyone forms of worship. Everyone offerings. Everyone sacrifices. But none of them striking the mark of a true worship, of a true worshiper, of the true and living God. Every one of their offerings is rejected because they think it's the right thing to do, but it's just in sacrifice to idols. It's because they have chosen their own ways and their soul delighteth in their abominations. And notice verse 4, I also will choose their delusions. I will choose their delusions because they have chosen their own way. I'll bring fears upon them because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they didn't hear. They did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. By doing that, their offering is rejected. Their offering is not even honored as what they think it is. Their offering is not acceptable in his sight. If they offer an ox, it's just like they killed a man. If they offer a lamb, it's just like them cutting off a dog's neck. Think of what God thinks of those offerings. But millions and billions continue to come before the throne of Satan in the name of God, trying to worship and worshiping in vain. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And God says, I will choose their delusions. I will choose them. I'm going to be the one orchestrating. You know, we don't have time because of the message of the hour. But if we had time, we'd go back to the time of Micaiah. Remember Micaiah? Remember, they're looking for someone who will go down and deceive these people. Who will go down and turn them in the way that I want them turned. And all those spirits came up and said, I'll go. But finally a lion spirit came up. And God chose that one to outgo. That's what God sending them a strong delusion is. Simply allowing. allowing that deception, allowing that, oh, against our human feel, against what we feel about it, allowing that to overtake a person. I want you to notice, go back to our scripture if we can, and we want to tie this in with James chapter 1. But look at our scripture. The actual decline of a man goes in three phases here. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. That delusion is sent that they should believe a lie. And by believing that lie, they all might be damned. It's a three-phase process of the decline of a man. The delusion becomes the lie. The lie, because of the lie, because they believe not a lie, but the lie, the lie, because they believe that, they are condemned and they are damned. You'll find the same thing. Go quickly over to James chapter 1. I want to tie this verse in with you. And again, keep these things in your heart as you go home with them. Verse 13, James chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. It's not God sending the delusion. It is him allowing and choosing what spirit is allowed to operate on those individuals. And then again, picking up in verse 14, the very same three-pronged decline of a man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Can you see the same three-pronged decline of a man? The three phases of the delusion. It starts as a delusion. It becomes a lie. And by believing the lie, they are damned. The delusion brings them into the lie. They are under a delusion, and because of that, and lust, when it is caused by temptation, he's tempted, drawn away of lust. And lust, when it is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The same three steps of a decline of a man. That's why you got to cut it off in the bud. That's why when the enemy begins to attack your brother and sister, that's why when the enemy begins to affect, and in your spirit and in your vision sometimes, you can see the enemy attacking your brother or your sister. You see them struggling across the aisle. You see them struggling in the church. Brother Branham said, don't take a stick and go over and try to push them under. He said, give them a hand and try to lift them up. Try to bring them back, because they can be delivered from the delusion. Eve was a victim of the delusion. Eve was a victim of delusion, but she was saved by Adam. Oh, I believe God has grace. I know there's men that have taken some very strong positions against this message, against our prophet. There's some very, very evil things that have been spoken. But my brothers, God keeps the books on that. As an evangelist, I get it everywhere I go. What do you think of this brother over here? Can he make it? What do you think of this brother over here? Do you think there's hope for him? How do I know that? How do I know that? I don't keep the books. God didn't allow me. When he let John look on the book over there and he saw his name and all heaven heard him rejoicing, I don't think he let him read the whole book. He just let him see his name. And that was enough for John. Here in the end time, God didn't give me an honor roll of people that's really true and those who are false. He gave me some discernment to be able to tell between those who serve God and those who serve him not. But he keeps the records on these things. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, woe be it unto me to decide who's in and who's out. I believe the prophet told us that we're going to be some surprises when we get over there. I may remember that. You're going to be surprised who made it. You're going to be surprised who didn't. Because it's not us. The Father knows everyone that is given unto him. And of those that are given unto him, how many is he going to lose? None. Not one. Not one. Oh, but Brother Tom, I know I believed in this brother and he done fell away. What's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with anything? I believe the true report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word has quickened me. I saw my name on the book. I'm believing by faith. Brother Jack's name is on the book, but I have to take that by faith. I have to take that by his confession. The only one I know is on that book is me. I've seen my name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's one of those that cannot be removed. It cannot be removed. Amen. The delusion that works its way into the delusion becomes the lie. It's not the fact that they're caught in a delusion that condemns them. It's that it leads them. By that delusion makes them believe the lie. And it's in the believing of the lie that they are damned. That's why when a brother has a question, has a dilemma with something he sees in the message, some event, it's possible that those spirits are just attacking that brother. More than ever, pray for him. More than ever, hold him up before the throne. Because that delusion that there is an error there in this message will lead him down to where he would finally believe the lie. But God is able to. The scripture tells us there's going to be some that are barely saved out of the fire. Y'all remember that? Plucking the brand out of the fire, barely able to be saved. I believe, brothers and sisters, that this strong delusion. Now, we know there's two spirits in the land. Again, back to God of this evil age. There's two spirits in the land. There's only two. There's only two. There's two spirits. One of them is God's Holy Spirit. And the other one is the devil's spirit. Working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. And the devil's unholy spirit is here calling his church by the error. By what? A spirit of delusion. I have seen, and again, the Lord has helped me to have such contacts over these 37 years of ministry. Precious brothers that I preached with, I evangelized with, I broke bread with, they're my friends. To find them now standing up and wondering if that cloud that appeared over Arizona was a supernatural event or not. It's a delusion. It begins as a delusion and it begins to creep in. And then when you see this, my brothers, ask God, is there mercy for that man? Don't be ready to just cast him aside. I have learned, we know the scripture tells us it's going to be that way. We know that there's going to be a falling away, a great falling away. I believe we're living in the midst of that right now. We are seeing the great falling away. But you know, I came in the message in 69. We've been using that scripture since then. What a brother would get his nose out of joint with the pastor and all of a sudden he'd quit the church. You know what scripture we'd always run to? Going to be a great falling away. That wasn't so great. That was just one guy. Somebody up and leave the church. Well, there's supposed to be a great falling away. That wasn't great at all. That was just one fella confused and didn't want to pay his tithes anymore, so he up and left the church. You know why he didn't want to pay him? Because that pastor ain't using the tithes right. What's that got to do with you? I'm an evangelist. I can say these things freely. What's it got to do with you if Brother Jack spends it a certain way? If he puts bubble gum in his closet, fills it up with your tithe money, to where the bubble gum falls out on him when he opens the closet door, what is that to you? You didn't give it to him anyway. You gave it to God. But I've seen so many churches tore apart because of the way he spends the money, the way he does, that's delusion, see? There it is. The enemy will work on your mind, and he'll get you to thinking this and this. And he might even skip shaking your hand one Sunday. Oh, man, I can't even go back now. Brother didn't even shake my hand. Come on. That's a delusion. The enemy will build stuff up in your mind. It's a delusion. He'll delude you to thinking that this and this and this. But it's getting stronger as we go. In the areas of the word, we see the strong delusions. We see the accusations against this message. We see the accusations against the prophet himself. But I brought down this one little quote. It was on my heart as I was coming down. And I wanted to read this to you today. Because Brother Branham warned us in a message called The Evening Messenger. The Evening Messenger. He's talking about the message and the messenger. And here, let me find it. Don't be weary. I got lots of my hour left. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
Got lots of my hour left. Here it is, the Evening Messenger. Listen to this statement now. This was in 1963. Notice when the message is rejected by the people and the messenger seems to be completely defeated. There's coming a time those two things are going to link together. When the message is rejected by the people and the messenger seems to be completely defeated, he can't get another door, he can't get a place. Notice when the message is rejected and the messenger seems to be defeated, that's when God steps on the scene. His message is over. Let me tell you, when his message is over, it's when it catches us out of here. This message will not be over until he that now letteth will let, until she, the bride, be taken away. You know why you're getting to be a part of this end-time living bride that's going to be caught away? It's not because you're so good. It's not because you're so special. It's the grace of God has allowed the full word to come down here in the end time and take over your thinking, take over your heart. And you and the word have become one. And one day, very soon, God is going to collect that word back to himself. And you get to go just because you're a part of that word. It's not because of how many Sundays you made it in a row. That's a delusion. It's not because of how good you are to the brethren, although you need to be good to the brethren, although you need to be every Sunday coming to church, but you are collected and changed because you're a part of that word. He's not coming to get Tom Ernest. He's coming to get his word. Amen. He's calling his word, the Holy Spirit, he who now letteth, until he be taken out of the way. The bride that's a part of that word is going to be changed one of these days. We are going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody's got to fulfill that. I've been saying it for 37 years, and if I'm 37 more, I'll still be saying it. Somebody has got to fulfill that. 1 Thessalonians 4 is a prophecy. That prophecy must be fulfilled. And I feel like Jesus did as he went down there in the water. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It's not because we're worthy, because we're deserving. None of those things count. It's because he is collecting his word back. And that word has come. And we were part of that word from the foundation of the world. And God has drawn it back. But it's delusions. Let me just give you one more point on this, and then we want to get to something a little more positive before we finish. What time did I start? Man, I didn't get my... I know, I'm only a third of the way into what he usually does. And tell me the truth. I got to rely on y'all. I've only heard him once. I only heard him one time. I want to just show you how these delusions will affect you. Follow this thought with me. This is way back in 1954. Brother Branham is telling a little story here. He says, a little tract was passed out and was sent out this week to many of the members of the church through here. You know, I've lived through those days. I've watched tracts get passed out among the church. I've watched subversive doctrines get passed out among the church. I've watched evangelists come into churches and have secret little huddles on the side. Trying some little special thing they got to share. I don't have nothing to share with you in private that I can't share behind this disc with all of you listening. Get worried when a man's got something so special that just you and him need to hear it. Don't want the pastor to know about this. We got to. But this is what Brother Graham said. A little tract was passed out to many of the members of the church, as I understand. It was concerning a doctrine, a cult, that originates in West Virginia. And it's nothing. Friends, it's nothing new. It's old. They deny his name being Jesus. Now, this was in 1954. Brother Brown's got a little event going on in the church. Somebody's trying to send out this little tract among them that they deny his name being Jesus. He said, it's nothing new. It's old. He says, now the pastor, as soon as he found it, he rushes right to me and tells me about it. Is there something to be done? I said, well, surely the church is established enough in the gospel of Christ that knows better than that. I like the prophet's confidence in us. Surely the church is established enough. Now, our old dear brother Ryan that comes here, y'all know who brother Ryan was, You message students. He comes here once in a while. He's mixed up in that too. And Mrs. Larson, she was once here with us. She's also into that. He says, now, Christian friends, he's going to clear up the track, first of all. He says, now, Christian friends, the word Joshua, they say the Bible is misprinted. It's misinterpreted and so forth. Don't pay no attention to what people are saying about the Bible being misprinted. If it's misprinted, something else, they say this is just misprinted. Where's your faith laying at? If you get to worrying about everything being misprinted, if you get to worrying about one particular quote and you're trying to figure it all out. He said, don't worry about that. He says, look, he said, now here it is. The lady that come to me some time ago, she didn't believe his name was Jesus. She said his name should be Jehovah Junior. That's what I said. Even Brother Bram said, That's what the track was all about.
Come on, brother.
We can't call him Jesus no more. We got to call him. What a track. It's a delusion she was under.
That's right.
His name should be Jehovah Junior. So I said, lady, he didn't go on and tell us what he said to the lady, but I would have liked to have been there and heard that. See, now here's my point from the quote. Watch this. What it is, friends, here's what it is. People who has those minds is receptacles to isms. The first thing you know, they get it, is a spirit of delusion, and they go off and they believe an error. What is the prophet telling us? That some people are just wired. Some people are wired. Their minds are wired to be more receptacle to isms than others are. He says it right here. Here's what it is, friends. These people's minds are receptacles to isms. Tragically, a lot of my friends fit that category. I've had lots of friends, and I know their minds. There are things that happen to us in our life. Some of my dearest friends that have walked away from this message. I know that in their youth, they did so many drugs, so much anxiety medications in their old age, that their minds are not wired just right. You say, well, I don't know about that. You know, you surely got some drug addict friends that you've tried to help and deal with. You know it takes an effect. I drink a lot of Diet Coke. You just have to forgive me for that. I'm addicted. All of my friends tell me that there's so much aspartame in there that it's going to fry my brain cells. So I send them articles where Coke did a study and drinking Diet Coke is better for you than water. And they tell me I'm under a delusion. You can't win sometimes. But this is what Brother Branham is saying. People who has those minds. There are people that are more susceptible to isms than others. And that ism. Oh, you've met them. And God help them because they're our friends. They're susceptible to isms. And the first thing you know, they get it. A spirit of delusion. There's your three steps again. From the ism to the delusion. To the delusion, to the error, and then by it they are damned. It's the error. It's believing the lie. It's believing the lie. In the area of isms, you know what happens to a grown-up ism? I got a quote for you on that. You know what a grown-up ism is? It's called a wasm. Brother Branham was talking about those bewildered disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were all bewildered. They were bewildered. They didn't know what to do. They were bewildered because they didn't know how they were going to make ends meet. They had absolutely trusted that he was the Messiah. They didn't know what to do. The church was bewildered then, and it's still bewildered today. But they become so bewildered till they try to organize some new ism. In their confusion, they'll build onto an ism, and it ain't long until that new ism is like always, it becomes a wasm. If you want to know what a grown-up ism is, it's a wasm.
All right.
Got it right out of the message. Where's that quote at? They've been putting quotes up here. Where's that one? Where's the wasm? I want you to know the advanced stages of an ism is a wasm.
Right.
I have friends caught in both. Brother Bram talked about some. They got a latter rain. They got a former rain. They got a middle rain. They got this and that and another. Some kind of an organization. It leads it to that. But it's because their minds You know, too much of this message, and I'm going to say this from experience, and being I've been in probably 150 different churches in my lifetime, preaching and trying to help people. I've watched how when psychology takes over for the Word of God, how that it becomes all tying a rope and hanging on in your own self. My dear brothers and sisters, we're coming down to some very treacherous times ahead of us. And we're coming down to when that squeeze comes on and when that pressure comes on. And what we've seen temporarily will be manifested in its fullness then. There ain't no psychology going to help you in that moment. There ain't no psychology, ain't no psychological workup. That's what Brother Branham said was wrong with Moses back there on the backside of the desert. He tried to use some psychology on Zipporah. That's what he said. Tried to use some psychology on her, and that didn't work. Don't you see, brothers and sisters? There's so much psychology has gripped this message. I sat with a man that's walked away from this word, went back to his old ways. I sat with him in his yard one time, and I'll give you his definition of what this message was. He said, I believe that God has a basket of goodies for his people that he offers here in our day. And he said, in that basket is Dr. Dobson and Bill Gothard and Brother Branham. And he begins pulling all these names out of the hat, out of the basket. And I said, brother, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You're putting our prophet and an end time message that was vindicated in the same basket with a bunch of psychologists. I said, I believe God has a basket for the elect lady in the end time. But that basket is this message. And there is no room inside of there for Dobson and Gothard and all these other psychologists. I believe this word is what it is going to take to change our bodies. A living bride is going to be caught away by this word. And these delusions that are around, it's a strong delusion. Oh, there's so many places we could go. But they've got, those minds are receptacles. They're receptacles to these delusions. The spirit of delusion is of the devil. How much more powerful of a deception? Paul, using the scripture, talking about that it's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You remember the verse? It's a spirit now working in the children of disobedience. The prophet asks us a question. He says, how much more powerful of deception could an adult give to the world than an infant child? Paul was looking at that spirit in its infancy in the children of disobedience. But he said, when that spirit grows up, when that spirit of delusion grows up, when it becomes matured. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that just as the bride of Christ is maturing, as she's coming to be more like him, as she nears him, I believe that same spirit of delusion is also growing in the Antichrist and his children. As the bride comes to maturity, as this word comes to full maturity, the Antichrist spirit also comes to its full maturity. And then that's when this man of sin will be revealed. Don't you see, brothers and sisters? It's a strong delusion. The son of perdition. The son of perdition. Now, such blasphemy. These delusions have... And please, don't waste your time on the internet. Don't waste your time. I'll do it for you, but you don't waste your time. The blasphemy that they have come out against this message. One of these websites the other day puts a picture of Elvis there with a glow over him. It says, look at there, Elvis has got the pillar of fire as well. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. My goodness. That's the spirit of delusion. Grown up into a, that's a wasm right there. But let's read the rest of our verses. My time's running out. Let's go back to Thessalonians. That's what's the product for the world. That's what the world has. That's what the outside world is going through right now, that they're believing a lie. And by believing that lie, they'll be damned. But Paul doesn't stop there. Look at verse 13. But we are bound. Oh, I love our prophet Paul, our apostle Paul here. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. See, he just spent all those verses talking about what it is out there. How that there's a spirit of Antichrist. How that he's going to be revealed. How that they're going to believe the lie. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. He doesn't leave such a bleak picture hanging over the world. He says, there's a little group that I want to call you. I am bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen. Tell me who he chose. You. I'm giving thanks for you because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called. Who did he call? You. Why can't we put ourselves right in the middle of that you? Behold, I will send unto you. He didn't send them out there to those in delusion. He didn't send him out there to the masses of the world. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet. And that Elijah will turn your hearts back. Oh, he'll make us dress right. He'll make us look right. There'll be a word that'll call us to that. But he'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. To you. You is personal. But he's called, whereunto he called you by our gospel. You know what criticism we get the most? You guys in the message believe that you're going to make it because you adhere to Brother Branham's message. This is what Paul is saying. He has called you by our gospel. I have been called to a change of the body by the message of the hour. There will be no change of the body outside of the message of the hour. Paul says, I have called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those criticisms just roll off. You believe you're the only ones going. I believe this message has come to gather a group called you. The you that he was sent to in Malachi chapter 4. I will send you, Elijah the prophet. And when you can grab hold of that fact that it's you that he was sent to, not just the world, not just Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. We don't take away anything from that. But Elijah was sent to a specific group. And that is to quicken the seed that laid there by this word. Whereunto he hath called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, seeing they got all their troubles out there, seeing that they've got delusions and they're believing the lie and they're all being damned, but we know that he's called you. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Oh, if there was anything I want to say to you this morning, it's stand fast. Hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You. It don't matter how bad it gets out there. He didn't call a group. It's called the bride. It is a group. It's a little collective group called the bride. But they're individual members. Being one by one, they gain the portal. When we see a dead saint going before us and we bury him in the ground, we sing that song when they ring the golden bells. One by one, they gain the portal. That's how we're being caught into this everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going in the rapture because Spirit and Truth Tabernacle is going. I want you to know that. I'm not going because Spoken Word Tabernacle in Wichita is going to be caught up. I'm going because I have been identified. That word has reached out and caught me and called me and placed me into this body. And that's how I know I'm going. It's an individual affair. It's an individual walk. We need a church. We need the fellowship of our brothers. We need the frictions. Oh man, nobody wants to talk about when stresses come into the church. We need those frictions sometimes. We need those stresses. We need these questions to come up. I call it sandpaper on the elbows. That's what it is. You need to get raked every once in a while to keep your attention. Keep your attention. That's what Paul is saying. May it comfort your hearts. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Establish you in every good word. Just keep holding on, church. It don't matter who comes or goes. It don't matter. Remember when the messenger and the message are both rejected by the people. It doesn't matter who falls away. You got to keep singing that song. If my brother don't go, it won't hinder me. If my sister don't go, it won't hinder me. You're going to make it. You have to be strong. You have to be steadfast. When the message and the messenger seems completely defeated, God steps on the scene. I know our feelings get hurt sometimes. I had confidence in this brother. He's now come out against this message. He's come out against the prophet. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. It doesn't have just keep holding on. Keep holding on to the word. Here's what Brother Branham says in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He is the word. The church becomes the word by him, making her a part of him. And that's the word again. Personally identified by him, his property alone. The bride is his property alone. He says it again. She is redeemed by him, through him, for him, and for him alone. That's what the devil is howling about, that it's being revealed. That the bride is catching that we are his. I am my beloved's and he is mine. And his banner over me is. That's what the devil is howling about. Oh, the devil is howling about this. The manifested truth of the promise of the word in her alone. That's what the devil is howling about. The book of Revelations tells us that he will be exceedingly wroth down at the end time. That there will become a season of time where that Satan is more angry than he's ever been. Because why? He knows his time is short. He knows he don't have much longer to work. And God is doing something wonderful. That's what the devil is howling about. The manifested truth of the promise of the word in her alone. They don't have the answer. Oh, you got to get weary of trying to get the answer for everything. There's more questions than you can answer. There's more questions than you can answer. They don't have the answer. When Jesus come, why didn't those Pharisees? He said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, who do you cast them about? He stood alone. And the church stands alone. She's not hooked with nothing, but we are identified by God, being the body that God dwelt in. She and she alone stands by. That's why the devil is howling. You want to know why he's howling in the end time? It's because the word and you are becoming one. They're trying to set up something to close her up, but they'll never do it. She'll be taken up.
Amen.
She'll be taken up.
Amen.
She won't be closed up.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, church. There's a lot of stress out in this land. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of bewilderment. Brother Branham said this. He didn't say that. He didn't clear this up. Don't get caught up in that. Believe the true report that was left to us. I believe the true report. Don't you love him? Don't you believe that to you he was sent? He was sent to me. Elijah came for me. He was sent to me. He wasn't sent to them out there. He was sent to me. And I believe that. And I'm so glad. Here I was. I was just nobody from Nutbush. That's who I was. I was just a farm boy. Growed up on the farm. I wasn't nothing. Nobody. We had a guy come. I was a young man. Young fella in the church there. We had a fella come by, an evangelist, come by and preach the sermon. You know what his title was? Can any good thing come out of Nutbush? I was young. That left an impression on me. Can any good thing come out of Nutbush? It's challenged me my whole life. And here God has allowed me to hold the truths of this word, the truths of this end time message. And make it a part of my life for all these years. I'm sad to see these brothers walking away. I'm sad to see the delusion of the end time affecting. Their minds are susceptible to that. But God, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for sending me Elijah. Thank you for sending me a prophet in the end time that would show me who I am and would let me identify. And I'll tell you something, church. I've been around a long time and I'm going to stay. You want to know what true consecration is? Peter gave us a good lesson in true consecration. All those disciples had walked away from Jesus. You remember that over there in the book of John? He looked at the ones he had left and he said, why don't you go also? This one, we get all worked up. This brother's quit. My friend has quit. They don't see it no more. And our Lord himself invited them also to go away. Why don't you also go away? And Peter came up with true consecration. You know what true consecration is? We have nowhere else to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's what true consecration is. It's when you know from here I have nowhere to go. I have seen the truth of this word. I can't go back to what I was. I can't go back to bobbing my hair and women wearing slacks. And I can't go back to that. I've already been there. There is nowhere else for me to go but up, but up. I believe that true report, brothers and sisters. Don't give up. Don't let it discourage you when all these delusions are floating around and people have so... Don't worry about the questions. Don't worry about it. There's only one place to go. I am consecrated to this word. I am consecrated. I know if this doesn't change me, if this doesn't change me, there is no other word out there to change me. You think there is? Go grab you a Dobson book. Come on, Dobson will tell you how to pull up your bootstraps and tie a knot and hang on. That's not going to change your body. That's all psychology. I have nowhere else to go but this word. I am consecrated. I am consecrated. Are you glad that God has called you to that place? Are you glad that He has anchored something in your heart? Be strong. Be steadfast. Don't give up. Don't give up, church. Don't let the devil attack your mind and let you think there's something better out there. Don't give up. Hold on to this word. Hold on to this word. Hold on to this word. When the distractions come, hold on to this word. Squeeze it up a little bit tighter. Squeeze it up to your bosom a little bit tighter and let Him know, Lord, You have called me and I am Yours to the end. Don't give up. Don't matter what the score is against you. I'll tell you a little story. Let's have the musicians come. We'll sing something. I know my hour's got to be running out. I'll try to pick a song y'all don't know, I promise. That's my talent. My talent is always picking a song that they don't know. I'll tell you a little story about discouragement. You know, the world's got a lot of discouragement in it. The enemy will try to throw a lot of discouragement on you. It's a baseball story. I know y'all are in the middle of spring training down here and all the baseball. It's a baseball story. It was a little fella sitting in the dugout. A game was going on. And there was one guy left in the dugout. A little fella, smallest guy on the team. He wasn't out on the field. And this old gentleman drove up in a car there and he saw he was sitting alone in the dugout and he was just arriving at the game. And he went up and he asked the young fella, said, "How's the game going, son? How's it going out there?" He said, "Oh, it's a good game, sir." He said, "We're playing with all our heart. They're playing with all their heart, and it's a really good game." And he said, but tell me, son," he said, "what's the score?" He said, "Well, sir," he said, "they've got 23, and we've got nothing." And the old fellow said, "That's a good game? You're being outscored 23 to nothing? It looks like you're losing really bad. Why don't you just quit and go home?" He said, "Sir, here's what it is." He says, "We haven't batted yet. We haven't batted yet. We are still in the top of the first. But I'm not giving up. We got a good game going on. We got a good game going on. It's still the top of the first. It's 23 to none, but we got a good game going on because our turn to bat will come up. Our turn to take a swing at the plate is still coming. And this word will see us through." Let's stand to our feet if you can this morning. Do y'all sing a little song, "I'll Keep Holding On"? "You're the best thing I've ever found." Y'all know that one? Is it in your songbook, "I'll Keep Holding On"? Nope. Nope. See, I that's my talent. Everywhere I go. You know what bothers me the most? I sing a lot. I used to song lead like your pastor here. I song led for many years, and I know the songs really well. I'm in my car and I'm belting them out to the top of my voice. You know what offends me the most is the person who wrote that song will come on the radio and they'll mess the words up. The one who penned the song will start singing it and they don't have the words right, and that really bothers me because I sing it. Oh, just don't quit, church. I may never get by here again. You might see me soon. You just never know. But just don't quit. You ever hear this little poem? I got a little poem for you. Can I read you a poem? "Just Don't Quit." Y'all remember this little poem? I think I brought it this morning. Let me see if I got it here. I meant to bring it. "Just Don't Quit." I may have not brought it. Yeah, I got it here. Going to play something. What do we want to play? Something about steadfast, holding on. play something. Pick something. I know them all. I sing them in all keys. You know, one time I got up to sing in a church. I always wonder what key I sung in. And I got up and started singing, and the piano player looked at the organ player, and the organ player looked at the piano player, and they both said, after I started singing, they both said, "Oh." I said, "Well, that must be the key I sing in." "Oh." They had never heard nothing like that. I can sing in all keys. I just can't sing well in any of them. But let me read you this poem. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when we might have won had we stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Are you glad, brothers and sisters, that there's a resolve in our hearts this morning? That I am as Paul is. I am apprehended. I am apprehended. I got nowhere to go. I'm a prisoner to this word. Lord, there's no quit in us. It don't matter what the naysayers and the critics say about our message or our prophet. It doesn't matter. There ain't no quit in me. I'm going to keep holding on because this is the best thing I've ever found. I'm going to keep holding to this word. Where are we going to go? You've been out there. You've seen the best. Brother Branham said in that one place, he said it was... That Moses weighed the best that Egypt had to offer against the worst that God had to offer. And the worst that God had to offer was still better than the best that all of Egypt had to offer. Oh, brothers and sisters, just keep holding on to this word. There ain't no quitting us. Ain't nowhere to go. Don't get disillusioned. Don't let the delusions of the enemy, those strong delusions, ask God to deliver you from that and keep holding on. What are you playing? What's that song? Hold it. That's good. Thank you, sis. Let's sing it then. You got it. Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Won't you hold?
Your hope eternal, come on and hold to God's. Give me that first verse.
Oh, well, time is filled with swift transition. Oh, and naught of earth unmoved can stand. You gotta build your hopes on things eternal. Come on and hold to God's unchanging hand. Everybody say hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, I'm gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Come on and build your hopes eternal. Come on and hold. The second verse. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever the years may bring. Oh, and if my earthly friends forsake him, oh yes, still more closely to him cling. Everybody hold to God's unchanging. Oh, I'm gonna hold to God's unchanging. Well, build your hopes, build on things eternal. Come on and hold. Amen. One more time. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Everybody hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, we gotta hold to God's unchanging hand. And you can build your hopes on things eternal. Come on and hold to God's unchanging hand. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. How many appreciate the word of the Lord today? An age of strong delusion. And all I can say is that Brother Tom just walked right into the last two sermons I preached, amen, here at the church. And what a confirmation. We really appreciate that today, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. The Lord, Terry, we certainly want to have Brother Tom back, amen, to just speak for us. And just so many really clear examples. And you know, when we just, I love the type there, Bruce Jenner. Right, a delusion is a belief that is held with strong conviction despite superior evidence of something greater. Right, and here this man, I mean, he grew up as a boy, ran an Olympics as a boy, had children, right, raised kids. And then all of them going to say he's a woman all the time. What a strong delusion. And it's so strong that he won Best Woman of the Year. He's not a woman. Right? And people are celebrating it. You know, it's a shame. But when we see those types, amen, in the natural, then we have to begin to position ourselves to look at what's happening in the spiritual. And certainly all this pulling away from the message and all that, nothing but delusion, delusion, delusion. And I tell you, put the scripture out there like that. You post it somewhere on social media, and all people can say is that y'all are the ones that are deceived. And they feel like they're free. No, I feel like I'm free. Amen. I believe I'm free, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And this word has certainly set us free. And I thank God for it, church. What a beautiful, beautiful message there. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. My, that quote on Jehovah Jr., I don't think I ever heard that one before, but I'll be using that one. Jehovah Jr. Don't call him Jesus no more. Call him Jehovah Jr. Under delusion. Complete delusion. You know, it's the same spirit we see today. My, my, my. And people's minds are susceptible to it. Back in... nowadays, what a lot of people doing is, you know, not just James Dobson, but my
there's a lot of following of the big church out in Texas, Joel Osteen, and they actually feel like his words, more anointed than the prophet's words. It's a shame what people are doing nowadays. It really is. And church, we ought to just thank God that that He sent us Elijah, and that we have something on the inside of us to be able to respond back to what, amen, the message spoke to our hearts. So we're grateful, amen, for that. And I tell you, I'm gonna join Brother Tom. I'm gonna still be holding on to it. I might be the only one, but I'm gonna just still be keeping it. Like I said last week, if this ain't that, let me keep this until that comes. Amen. And it's no way you can take the message from somebody. And when you take the message, you're also taking the messenger. And if you don't have an answer to Malachi 4, then let's just hold on to this. Let's hold on to this. You've got to give us an answer. If you're going to take Brother Branham away, who is the fulfillment of that? And they're trying to go back to John the Baptist. No, John the Baptist did not come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So you got to give us who the answer to that is. And if you don't have the answer, then hold on to this. And there's some that what they want to do is hold on to the revelations that he brought. They want to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. They want to talk about serpent seed and what happened in the garden. But they don't want to accept not cutting the hair. Right? Well, if you're going to reject part of it, you rejected all of it. Amen. You might as well stop preaching the rest of it, too, if you're going to reject part of it. And that's not even a doctrine Brother Branham brought. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Paul brought that. And remember he said on the other side, he says, Paul here? He said, yeah, Paul here. He said, well, I preach the same thing Paul preached. And millions yelled out, we're resting on that. So I thank God for a prophet that stood on the word. We have a sure foundation, church, and it won't be shaken. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer this afternoon at 3:30 time frame. Brother Tom will be preaching in Okeechobee there for the saints at Bible Truth Tabernacle. So those of you that might be free to go and be a part of the service, we invite you to go and be a part of that. I'm planning to go out and be a part of that service. So all that can, amen, let's go and be supportive, and let's just have some more time of fellowship. Father, we thank you for your word that has come forth today. Lord, just a true encouragement to our hearts. And I know for myself, Lord, just knowing that you had me in a particular channel for the last two times that I preach and just couldn't get away from it. Now you come back and confirm that through the ministry today, Lord. And you sent a brother all the way from Wichita to confirm these things to us. And Father, how we just appreciate you speaking in our midst. We know that we're hearing your voice here, God, and we just ask that you continue to just to raise us up and to anoint us to hear what the Spirit is trying to speak to us. There is delusion in the land. We pray that you would anoint us afresh, God, that we might not be deceived by the enemy. And God, even those that have been deceived, yes, we realize that there would be delusion in the land, but also, God, you promised to restore. And we're looking for you to do that. For those that have walked away, shake them, God. Amen. Help them to see that it's a spirit that they're under. And we pray that you bring a mighty deliverance to them, God. And Father, I just know that there's nobody that gone too far where your blood can't reach them. So we pray that you do a mighty work in their hearts and in their lives. And we thank you, God, for the work already being done. Bless us now as we leave this place. Not from your presence, but as we go our respective ways, we pray that you give us traveling mercies to our homes and those that will be going out for fellowship, Lord Jesus, to Okeechobee. Pray that you bless the trip and bless the service on this afternoon. May you get all the glory. May you get all the honor. May you get all the praise. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.